see where they want to set it up.
Turned out to be a pretty interesting view of those trees up there.
Yeah, you grow them quite short for the large.
It's present. Like they want around the desk or they want to run there?
Around the desk, that's what they want.
Move your chair around the desk so that that drops it up. Your main shop here is one of the open. No, and too many quads. Well, I thought it'd be useful to get an update on our narcotics program. And Buzz, I've seen your briefing. You know, we've been emphasizing on other things, the program on treating addicts, preventing the jacket on it. So that's going well. Therapy is getting rather high marks.
Correct.
It has so far. We got the bill, which establishes the office.
Sign.
And by the unanimous vote.
2-0.
Right. That's good. That's unusual. The other thing is that we have been working very well on the problem of foreign governments. We've been doing well with the Turks and reasonably well with some other governments.
Right. With Thailand and Laos, particularly.
Thailand, Laos, Turkey, that's in our major.
That was a go-winner decision.
Right, sir. You know, the other side of the program that I've been emphasizing is to get at the pushers. In other words, the prosecution side. Now, the problem we've got on the prosecution side is they're not enough laws. We've got plenty of laws. And apparently the penalties are heavy enough. But the problem really is a question of personnel, apprehension, organization, and the like. And very frankly, a lot of competition in the government.
That's right.
There's competition in the Justice Department, the Trade Department. And as a matter of fact, it's played this effort for a long time. You recall I laid out some directives with regard to ending the competition. As I said, you get these departments to quit fighting each other and start fighting the drug problem. Now, the purpose of this meeting is to get a brief report as to where we are. I don't want any snow job. We've gotten too often. I sat right in this office and we've gotten a snow job on because each department's trying to prove that it's entitled to more people and they're interested in how many slots they've got, how many people they've got working under them, and therefore they can have a higher promotion. I'm interested in that. And I'm not interested in any phony statistics. The woods are full of those. But we're really interested in this as to whether we have a program that you can honestly stand up and say is adequate to deal with this problem. Are we properly organized? Have we stopped the jurisdictional fights? And are we prepared to go forward and deal with the problem? Now that's the thing we thought you here for.
In terms of our being properly organized right now, it's quite honestly we're
not yet. Well, that's an honest answer. What I expected it was because, frankly, before this meeting was called,
the reason for that is that they have conflicting jurisdictions. Both of them feel that they have concurrent jurisdiction, and they've had two people trying to make final decisions about what should be done at ports of entry, what should be done internally, and what should be done internationally. So what we felt was necessary was to have one person who had law enforcement responsibility in the narcotics area, very much like we tried to do with Dr. Jaffe for the man side. We had the same problem among the various treatment agencies, OEO and IMH and arrests, and we put that under Dr. Jaffe, gave him that responsibility. Now the same thing we feel is necessary in the law enforcement side of narcotics as well. And we think that if we can set up a special program right now out of the Justice Department but with responsibility that spans the Justice Department as well as Treasury, and able to use the investigative resources of the Bureau of Customs, the Internal Revenue Service, as well as the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, with one man who is a theoretician for the overall prosecutive effort that will be able to cure that jurisdictional dispute, which has plagued us for 12 years, 12 or 13 years, if I'm right, I think it goes back.
At least.
And what this would involve would be using the vehicle of the grand jury with special prosecution teams throughout the country. And Commissioner Ambrose has done some work on this before. Maybe you could describe how that team was set up.
Well, basically, the weakness, Mr. President, has been on the impact on the street itself and the impact on the community. And what we have talked about is the utilization of the federal and state people interrelated with the federal agencies and the utilization of the grand jury. The resources of the community at the street peddlers, where the most impact can be made immediately. I think that the overseas program has been working well, and our program of interdiction has been working well, and the program possibly getting some of the principal individuals, but there has been, unfortunately, relatively little impact on the street. This program would be designed to get at that area specifically.
Why the grand jury?
Well, because the grand jury gives you an opportunity to bring in all of the people who have it's a safeguard on civil liberties, and it's also the best inquisitorial mechanism we have.
Also, it has the great advantage of, let's say, when I say it's a fishing expedition, at least it's a fishing expedition with complete protection of the innocent, because it's all behind
the door. That's correct. And also, we have the opportunity of using the immunity statute to a great extent. And I think this is the key to
that. Which is essential in these kind of cases.
That's correct, sir. And I think that we can have a tremendous impact even in calling in the addict peddlers and giving them immunity, no thank you, in this specific case, because they're the people who are the victims and who also are involved in the criminal
process. What percentage of peddlers are addicts?
I can't possibly
answer that.
Well, I would say it's a very substantial percentage, sir. No question.
So we feel that if we can get this program geared up quickly, then we'd be able to disrupt the trend at the local level. And this is a very significant step because it moves the federal government into an arena where we have not been before, which is actually doing investigation and prosecution at the street level. Before, we've been internationally involved. We've been trying to work out our agreements with Turkey, Thailand, Laos. They work very well. We're moving this right down to the street level. Right.
I think it would help to stimulate the local law enforcement agencies and their efforts, and I think this is where we can really get some impact because we have 350,000 police officers in the United States, and their resources are not being utilized.
350,000
in the United States.
Tell me, how many of them are involved? Is there quite a bit of corruption in many of the police departments in major cities or regional offices?
I think
that, you know, this is such a profitable business. I mean, the poor guy being exposed on that could be year after year after year, and somebody comes up and offers some money. Isn't that part of the problem? You know, there was a New York scandal.
I think it's a significant problem, Mr. President. I don't think it's anywhere near what it was portrayed to be, particularly in the New York situation. I think that there's obviously been some corruption in New York, but by and large, the average police department in the United States, while it may have some corrupt influences for gambling and other things, has not been involved in narcotic traffic. And I think that's an isolated.
Are not.
I don't. It's a very isolated situation when police departments are involved in the trafficking of narcotic drugs. In my job,
I want us, as you know, as defending police departments when they have very little defense over recent years. The fact that I know that they have a tough job and they need to be backed up. On the other hand, you know, when we talk about respect for law, you've got to have law that deserves respect. And that's why the law enforcement officials have got to be like Caesar's wife.
That's correct.
Now, generally speaking, though, your police department, you're pretty confident with your job.
Yes, sir. The only place we've had a problem, and there's no question about it, has been in New York. I think it's well known. In certain specific areas.
It's a very extensive city. There's great temptation there for Yet they've got some mighty fine police in there.
They've got the finest police department and the finest men, sir.
Correct. For me, he's, and they're proud of that. And it's like a great football team. They've got that problem. Let me say, don't let me get into business having been farmed to live the other time. We're proud of that department. Go down there in Chicago, we got some different sanctions. And go down there. That sounds great, Los Angeles. Or Houston, or Miami. Everybody's out there. You've got some outstanding people. Some of the unsung heroes are basically people that have been in law enforcement, working in the police department. By other standards, it's not too elevated. But remain honest. You know, it's just hard to be honest in such businesses.
I would think so, particularly with the flood that we've had in recent years. You know, we've had basically, Mr. President, 10 years of total neglect in this problem on the law enforcement basis.
Yeah.
And to come from behind, to see this apathy that's existed all over the country for many years, has, I think, had an effect on the average policeman.
It hurts his morale.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it makes it, and gee, is it worth it? And, you know, I'm a pig, and all that sort of thing. It's changing.
This is that's right. Now he's getting, at least getting some backing, and that's what you've got to
get. Well, coming back to this, are you satisfied, of course, with the organization, but you think it's bad, is that correct?
I think this can have a kind of an impact that could be very significant. Yes, sir, I do.
You know, if I were a law enforcement pig, there is no area which would give me more satisfaction than the work in the area of narcotics, particularly heroin, the heart center. All forms of law enforcement, of course, you catch somebody that's a drunk driver, you kill somebody, you catch somebody who's attempted murder, rapists, or whatever you call them. But these are people that just destroy life the lives, spiritually, morally, physically, of young people by the hundreds of thousands across the country and eventually in short time. If you look at the societies, the great societies of the past, you will find, particularly those in the southern hemispheres, over and over again, that you have an issue with drugs, and then beyond that, a collapse. I don't think we're going to come to that. I would hope that your people have that sense of mission.
I think, Mr. President, it's one thing they've got at this point. To give you an idea of it, I know that you have not particularly keen on the statistics, but just think, the first 9 months of this year. No, I know, but this
I want to have.
This year, though, in the first 9 months, we've seized about 1,000 pounds of heroin compared to 26 pounds in the previous year in 9 months.
4,000% increase.
1,000 pounds of heroin would be how many, what do you call fixes? How many?
Millions. Many millions.
Millions of fixes.
Yes.
I see. You break it down.
It's
triangle bags.
That's right. It's 5% of we get pure heroin. So what I'm talking about is pure state heroin.
You're saying it in terms of thousands. You're saying it in terms of millions of fixes for people who would be in the arm.
Yes, sir.
Mr. President, while we're seizing more heroin and our arrests have increased, the real test is whether or not there's less heroin available on the streets. And that's what this program is designed to attack, is to be able to reduce the amount of heroin available on the street. Just the number of seizures that we've had or the number of arrests we've made, these are operational indices. But the real test is whether there's more or less there. That's what we're shooting for, is to reduce the amount that's there and drive people out of the heroin pattern into treatment.
Well, I read that there was a story around the Times the other day that heroin is drying up, supply is drying up.
We had it checked out. There was no basis for the story whatsoever. We can find out. They quoted an officer in the New York City Police Department. We checked with the supervisor. There's no indication. They try to relate it to the dock strike, because the dock strike had ended. If it had happened, sir, but unfortunately, it didn't happen.
Tell me, to what extent is your operation a dangerous one? Is it or not? you know, we need to see movies and TV and the rest of people that work in town. Apparently, it's quite visitor, I don't know.
It's an extremely dangerous area of activity, Mr. President, but fortunately, our agents, both ours and BMDV, and those who've been involved in this, are darn well trained, and I think this probably obviates
a lot of harm.
Sure do.
I would imagine, of course, that where you've got a pusher who's an addict, you've got potentially a very dangerous person.
That's correct. This is correct. But was it one of the problems we're going to have in this program?
Basically, a man who's very responsible and acting on his own volition. That's what I would be concerned about.
There's no way of judging what kind of an act it will take. That's true.
What about cooperation now between the federal officers and the local law enforcement officers?
John, what we're suggesting here is a program which would be designed to enhance the cooperation, get some utilization of the federal and the state and the local police, and much more of a cross-exchange of intelligence and information. And this is where we have to get some movement in order to get a handle on this situation in Oakland. I think we can do it this way. I really do. Because we can ask them to work in an area which is already their jurisdiction with no questions of whose responsibility or who's going to get the credit or any of this kind of nonsense. It's a question of pinpointing and isolating individuals who are the threat to the community. I think they can do it. Great assistance.
The costs are not great. What we're talking about is a maximum of $7 million we estimate right now. We can reprogram some money in the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs to Bureau of Customs, and I don't know what that increase is, Dr. Schultz, in the Bureau of Narcotics, but I think it's gone from $34 million to...
No, about $37 million, and the president came into office for about $115 million in fiscal year 1972, so there's been big increases in the effort here in terms of the budget. But we're operating under instructions from the president to put the money into this program that's needed to do the job right.
We can deploy people in the Bureau of Narcotics and Dangerous Drugs, Customs, and the Internal Revenue Service for this.
That's right. This, in other words, I think would be just a program in which they could follow up on. The real need that we're going to have here is in the additional people would be the lawyers that would be actually handling the grand jury work. And this requires, as you know, Mr. President, a very skillful group of people and dedicated because, we're asking them to put in a tremendous amount of time and effort in this area.
One of the ideas was that Governor Newsom, this is a special prosecutor at that time, he set up a special racketeering grand juries in New York. They had a terrific effect in the late 30s. Now, I think that we could adapt the same kind of technique nationally here to attack drug trafficker and push it, we get the same kind of effect using the brightest young attorneys that we could bring in to this program, using the current resources of the Bureau of Narcotics, Customs, and IRS for investigation purposes, and all bring it in here to the Justice Department, we have a very effective team and effective program.
Young man in law school today, wanting to do something for the country. do that.
Right.
Do we saw it as a way to a great political career? It used to be that people would say, well, I'll be the prosecutor, I'll be the DA, the prosecutor, the attorney, the county attorney, then maybe run for governor, then maybe for the Senate, and then something else. But today, they go into great corporate law firms, they become their lawyers for, and counsel the government departments, you know, working with these, what I call softer kids, the harder. Well, some of the attorneys general, and very active recruiting programs, and they come into the law school on a competitive basis along with the big law firms and the other people. What's interesting to note though, that you're, when you look at your state attorneys general, for the most part, they are civilian type lawyers, and not on the criminal side.
Well,
they don't run criminal law.
Louis Lefkowitz and some of the others are coming in, Edward Younger, and some of them are coming into law schools.
The prime ministers are running records.
In any event, they're getting some good people to come into the press. Are we aware of the fact that, are we all aware of the fact that the need to really inspire the law schools that we need to produce and to get to other people that are doing enough here?
I know.
I wonder if we shouldn't talk to them. I mean, we need good lawyers on the prosecuting side throughout the government.
Don't you agree?
No question about it.
There are
great problems.
And because it just isn't a thing. Part of it is pay. I don't know if we take care of that. But take me on God. I mean, it's the way to get it done. Criminal, I can't get back to the fact of criminal law. The first top subject in my lawsuit before us, we just didn't have anybody to get our about it.
Well, I'm going to speak on this.
Yeah, and to track these goals, the way to move up and to serve your country.
These fellows are neat, bushy tailed, young guys.
They're going to be
furnished.
We have to call
on the FBI. The FBI is not getting the quality people in there that they used to get. I mean, and I am, again, a great defender of the FBI, as you know. That's not a good thing.
The idea here,
the FBI pays well, but it's not going to be followed.
The idea here would be for Miles to go to somebody like John Alexander and say, yeah, I want one of your best young trial men for a year.
That's exactly the way the plan works out.
Right.
In Chicago and Los Angeles.
I'm going to call that debris deployment on that is garbage. Sure, aren't you? Was that at the trial department?
Yeah, that's
at the firm.
Yeah.
And it's a great trial lawyer.
Yeah.
But I just like to see you get pick out of every firm across the country. But the difficulty is, though, John, you take him out of John Alexander's firm, and he's not done anything but criminal law.
But he'll be able to pick up enough if he's a good man. He'll pick up enough.
But Mark Rogers started on
it. We don't need the next break. All we need is somebody that's going to work hard and that can go in and interrogate.
He doesn't have to have experience.
No, sir. No, sir.
He
can take care of business.
He can survive. Very nice. Well, good luck.
Thank you very much.
Don't start taking stuff yourself.
No.
We won't back. Thank you.
Yes, sir.